We bring you two homilies from a series given by Father John A. Hardin, S.J. Father Hardin is well known as a spiritual guide, retreat master, and author. One of his latest books is Holiness in the Church. He is the author of the renowned Catholic Catechism, which has been strongly endorsed by Holy Mother Church. In these homilies, Father Hardin very pointedly brings out a specific virtue that can be gleaned from the scripture readings of the day, and he then makes a practical application to our daily living. Anyone listening often to these beautiful meditations will be encouraged and inspired to determine to follow Christ more closely in his or her particular state in life. In the following meditative homily, Father Hardin speaks on the subject, Praying and Sacrificing for Bishops and Priests. Father Hardin.
It is not often, I think, that we hear a conference or a homily on praying and sacrificing for bishops and priests, that they might be good shepherds of the flock. Yet I do not think that there is anything more important in the Church of God today than bishops and priests, who are indeed good shepherds of the sheep. We pray understandably and urgently for more vocations to the priesthood, and surely the people of God need the ministrations of priests. But far more important than numbers is the quality of the bishops and priests that the flock needs to be shepherded by. If we were to ask, what kind of shepherds should bishops and priests be to the people? We have the answer, as I have so often told audiences of priests, and a bishop often in the midst of his priestly flock. We have the pattern in Jesus, who called himself, because he was, the Good Shepherd. A good shepherd to his people first knows the flock he is to tend. He loves his people. He defends his people. And what they most like to see, he labors and suffers and wears himself out for his people. The kind of bishops and priests that the Good Shepherd wants in all ages of the Church's history, but especially today, are bishops and priests who know their people. This is not merely knowing, say, their names or having statistical analyses made by someone else of the diocese or the parish. It is the intimate knowledge of the people that comes from contact, intimate relationship with a people whom he is tending. It means that he uses every possible occasion and every human means to make himself available to the people that he knows who they are, where they are, and above all knows their problems and needs. And as we know, the deepest problems that people have cannot be arrived at by some stranger ringing the doorbell and asking some prosaic questions. This kind of knowledge can come only from long hours of patient listening to the trials and difficulties and, of course, the joys of his people. The first condition, therefore, of a good shepherd is that he knows his sheep. And as Christ so wisely added, and they know him. Confidence begets confidence. The people will open up. They will share. Oh, how they need a priestly heart to whom they can open up their needs. That's the way Jesus was. And that's the way he wants his priests, whom he ordained to be. Bishops and priests are to love the people whom Christ has commended to their care, building on the knowledge that he has. He will be concerned about their problems and not merely know about them. And their problems, I should remark, as I've often told priests, their most immediate needs may not be spiritual, though their deepest problems will be of the spirit. The gospel we read from Mark goes on immediately after when the evangelist says that Jesus then preached for a long time when he saw this crowd as sheep without a shepherd. If we read another 10 verses, we'd find out how long, far into the evening, to such a point that the disciples nudged the master. Lord, they haven't eaten all day. As a matter of fact, neither have we. It was on this occasion that Jesus worked the miracle of multiplying 5 loaves and 2 fishes to feed 5,000. In today's world of massive inequity, when alongside of great affluence and stuffed, stodgy, obese wealth, millions are hungry, all I had to do is listen in New York to a young woman who is very ill with a chronic disease, telling me because she has no money, She has to wait hours, often in severe pain, before some intern at the local city hospital will give her 3 minutes of his time. That priests and bishops be concerned about the physical needs of the people. But all of this out of the love that he has for the flock, even as in Christ's case, to be concerned about even bodily wants, but always in order to reach their souls. And what do sheep most want from a shepherd? They want to be pastured by him, so that on the last occasion, before he left the earth, that Christ refers to the kind of shepherds he wants when he spoke to Peter. He told him, and through him, the tens of thousands of bishops and priests until the end of time, feed in the name of God, feed my sheep. Feed them with what? With the truth of God's revealed word. What a sad spectacle to be told by so many how they hunger for the Word of God, how they wait anxiously during the 10 short minutes in a Sunday's homily to hear something about Jesus and Mary and grace and the Eucharist and the meaning of suffering and the shortness of this life and the length of eternity. How to avoid sin and practice virtue. How much God loves them. How pleased He is with them in spite of their weakness and sin. This especially is what, in all ages of the Church's history, but never more, I think, than today, do the sheep of Christ's flock want to, because they so desperately need to be fed on the Word of God. And I wish I could say, but all the evidence does not warrant saying that they are all being fed on Christ's revealed truth. They don't need sociology. They don't need politics. They don't need psychology. What they need is Jesus, who is the Word of God, who became man, and who mysteriously ordained 12 men to shepherd the flock that he came into the world to save. But finally, and in a way most dramatically. The people of God want to have their shepherds, their bishops and priests working for them, exerting themselves in a way, as Christ said, that a hireling will not do. When I hear about priests demanding higher salaries or better pension plans or God knows what, all I can think of is that word of Christ, hireling. To work for the people of God in any age, but surely in ours, as a bishop and a priest should, this means hard work. Shepherds, as we know, we in our much too urban civilization, shepherds would often spend the night under the stars, sleeping on the grass with their sheep. It means, therefore, labor. A priest, I don't mean he will not protect a certain amount of privacy that he needs, or hours for responsibilities that he should take care of alone. But this idea of a priest having office hours, where only between the hour of such and the hour of that, you just don't pick up the telephone or ring the doorbell, that is not the kind of shepherds that Christ wants his priests to be. It means that bishops and priests will courageously defend their flock against the onslaughts not just of the world, but of the devil. Never do I believe has Satan been more active. The wolf of the gospel, from which Christ says the good shepherd protects his sheep, been more active and effective than today. Sure, it's a risk. Of course, it demands courage. Naturally, the bishop and priest will suffer for defending his flock, especially from the venom of error. But why has Christ ordained bishops and priests, if not that they might protect that flock for whom the first shepherd died on the cross? And why did Christ die on the cross? Because he sought to defend his people from the error and the hypocrisy and the malice of his day. So then the wolves, from whom he sheltered the people, finally devoured the shepherd. They killed him. It is especially here of that incredible statement that every priest and bishop should hear and ask himself daily, how am I living up to this expectation of the Master? A good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. Yet, as a priest among priests, I can assure you, we are weak. We have all the human failings that everyone else has. We have our passions and fears. Unworthily, Christ has ordained us. But we need, oh how we need, that divine help which only the sheep, ironically, can obtain for their shepherds. It is the prayer, not casual, but sincere, earnest prayer, daily, sacrifice, which means suffering, on the part of the faithful, that in God's providence will obtain, as it has in the past, it will into the future, the light we need, the strength we need, not excluding that most important courage that a bishop and a priest so needs to have from God, the courage to endure, to be ridiculed, to be humiliated, to die, if need be, in body, but let me tell you, always to die in spirit for his sheep. It is only in this way that shepherds and flock will not only be happy in this life, but we shall together attain that destiny for which the first good shepherd died, that we might in his company attain. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Please turn over to side B and push the play button immediately without rewinding the tape.